My name is Rolando Bini. I'm running for the local station board. I'm a politically incorrect Latino immigrant and consider myself a left libertarian working within a human rights frame. I'm a vegetarian for 34 years and consider that to be vegetarian is to be progressive. I consider that foster care is slavery, and here in New York City is practiced against 17,000 children, 98% of them black and Latino, less than 1% white. I am the founder of Parents in Action for Leadership and Human Rights, a grassroots organization that fights against the abuses of the foster care industry, the public schooling system, and the whole cradle-to-prison pipeline. I think that WBI needs a program to deal with this issue that is destroying black and Latino families. I am the founder of the Mental Hygiene Corps Patrol that monitors psychiatrist abuses, especially at Bellevue Hospital. I am solution-oriented and need your vote to make WBI the station with the highest audience in our area. For more information, visit my website at parentsinaction.net.
And you're listening to radio station WBAI. For more exciting election statements, tune in at 7:55 and we'll bring you another one. Right now, though, it's time for Off the Hook. And a very good evening to everybody. The program is Off the Hook. Manuel Goldstein here with you on this Wednesday evening. As election talk is in the air, both locally and nationally. And we are here today with an assorted cast of characters, none of which is Bernie S. Bernie's not joining us tonight. But we do have Jim with us, who wasn't here last time.
Hello.
And we have Mike.
Hi.
And Redbird.
Good evening.
Walter's over there.
Hi.
And Lynn, I believe that's your face, I see.
Hello.
How you doing? And, Kevin, you're over there in the other corner.
Hello.
A lot of us. Okay, well, we have been on for a couple of weeks, so we have a few things to go over. And, of course, we'll be taking your listener phone calls a little bit later on in the program. Does anybody have any adventures they embarked on in the last couple of weeks? No? Nothing? All leading nice, boring lives? Jim, you have something?
I don't have an adventure. I just have a little tidbit about the election. Mm-hmm. And hacking. Tomorrow night on HBO, there's going to be a special, I believe, called Hacking the Election.
Hacking the Election.
Call at 9 p.m. Dealing with Diebold's posting of its source code on the net a few years back and people finding it and showing up the flaws in it.
Mm-hmm.
And it runs an hour and a half. So I think if it's well done, I haven't seen it yet, so you never know. But if it's well done, it should be chock full of information to make you scared as anything at the polls.
Wow. Well, I don't think we're using electronic ballots here yet in New York City, are we?
We do have the option.
The option?
I got a postcard from the Board of Elections telling me that if I really want to vote on an electronic machine, I can go down to, I think it's Varick Street, and vote on. They have like three there that, for my pleasure.
There was. Can you use all three of them?
I don't know how it works exactly.
Wow.
There was an ad by the Board of Elections a few weeks ago in at least the Daily News and possibly other places in which they state that they are have electronic machines for use by the handicapped at various central areas around the city. So it's going to be adding inconvenience to this election to the handicapped.
Well, that's in the finest tradition of American politics.
Exactly.
Well, a week from today is going to be interesting because we'll see how the national elections went. Any predictions on what we'll be talking about? Election problems?
More politicians will be elected.
More politicians will be elected, but will there be voting scandals, broken machines, that kind of thing?
Well, here's the thing. There doesn't seem to be a scandal even when the votes don't get counted. So, really, no one cares.
As long as the football stays on the television set, I think we'll be okay. Okay, a milestone has been reached. You guys hear about this? 100 million websites. That's the number that whoever is keeping track of this, I'm not quite sure how they do it, but apparently the World Wide Web now has 100 million separate sites. And back in August of 1995, there were 18,000.
Oh, my God.
And I'm proud to say we were one of them. We were one of the original 18,000 because we started, I think, in 1995 with 2600.com. That's something. And there's a little graph that I got a hold of. Basically, they hit a million in April of 1997. By 2001, it was up to 30 million. And 50 million was hit in 2004. And now in October 2006, or actually this was taken in October 2006, we're up to 100 million.
How do they know?
I don't know. I really don't know. I'd love to know how they count, how they figure these things out.
So I could write a press release saying we're at 200 million and no one would know?
I think it's a little bit more complicated than that, but they're counting. They're watching. They've
got what are they counting? Individual pages or sites or what?
No, they said websites, did they not? Or did they say web pages? Hang on, see what the story is. Sites. So I imagine like CNN, for instance, would be one site. Not every single story on CNN counting as a different site. See what I mean?
All right.
Yeah. So I guess 2600.com would be one site, 2600.org would be another site, even though they go to
the same
place.
That's the
same
site.
But it's two different domains.
I don't buy it.
How do you compare? I don't know. I'm not sure. Does everybody who links their site to another site, does that count as one or two?
It's very confusing.
It is confusing. I think that's the idea. Speaking of confusion, the anti-terrorism barriers that went up all over the city, they're coming down. That's right, because they figured out that these things do more harm than good. Planters that double as security barriers are being removed from sidewalks in front of various buildings throughout the city. 63 concrete globes that once encircled the Times Square Tower are gone. Many of the barriers that flank high-rises, office buildings, and museums have been removed by order of the city's Department of Transportation in close alliance with Al-Qaeda. No, that's not true. This is actually something that is being ordered by the people supposedly on our side because they don't want us to get hurt when these things blow up. Because apparently, if you set off a car bomb near an anti-terrorism barrier, they become what's known as weaponized. And they shatter into deadly shards that go flying all over the place. And I guess I didn't think about this when they put them all up, even though we did.
Just a little aside about those 63 globes at the Times Square Tower. What they had were, they were globes of the Earth, and what it was supposed to be was to have the, I believe it's called the Terminator line, where sunrise and sunset meet on each of them at different places, and they were going to be in order. But when they were installed quickly to act as anti-terrorist bollards, they put them out of order. So these were very artistic, and I'm sorry to see them go in a way.
Well, it makes for a safer city, I guess, to have
most
of these things around. But, it's pretty silly. Going into airline travel, the Conservative government of Canada has announced plans to institute a no-fly list to bolster aircraft security. The Passenger Protect Program will require all passengers to show a government-issued ID to board commercial flights by 2007. And they're, of course, pointing to the alleged terror plot in the United Kingdom as highlighting the importance of programs like Passenger Protect. We must remember, said the public safety minister, that Canada is not immune to the threat of terrorism, and we must remain vigilant.
I mean, we've pointed out time and time again why these no-fly lists are a stupid idea. I mean, it should be the case that airport screening can take away the bombs of all these dangerous people. I should be able to sit next to Osama bin Laden on an airplane flight, and there should be nothing he can do to take the flight down.
Yeah, yeah. That's an interesting soundbite there. Why don't you demand that right as an American?
I demand it.
Well, you know, one of the things that I found out is while they were doing all this liquid stuff, apparently they can't tell the difference between a liquid and a gel and a powder, because after they started doing this bag screening, I got stopped about four times for having powdered tooth powder stuff. But it was in a bottle that would look like toothpaste,
uh-huh.
And they decided, well, you know, we need to search you for this, and they kind of look a little silly when I go, well, you need to have this out because it's a liquid, and I say, well, it's a powder, dude.
But if you pour water into it, it becomes a liquid.
This is very true.
That can be topped. The New York Times has reported that they stopped someone for carrying a liquid because they were carrying water in with their tuna in a sealed can of tuna fish.
What did they hope to get away with by doing that?
You know, it's a deadly, deadly thing.
It wasn't
thing.
A 3-ounce can?
I think it was 6 ounces. It could have been weaponized. Do you throw that at somebody?
Weaponized
deadly
tuna.
For the tuna.
It's full of mercury.
Yeah, there's that too. Who knows what kind of chemical reactions will take place. And continuing on this subject, a California congresswoman this week was briefly denied access to a United Airlines flight. Actually, that was last week. Because her name appeared on a no-fly list set up after September 11th. Representative Loretta Sanchez, a Democrat who has been a critic of a no-fly list, said her staff booked her a one-way ticket from Boise, Idaho to Cincinnati, Ohio, a well-known terrorist route, and through Denver, by the way. But they were prevented from printing her boarding pass online and at an airport kiosk. Sanchez said she was instructed to check in with a United employee who told her she was on the terrorist watch list. The employee asked her for identification. Well, what good does asking for identification do? I mean, does it say on your
terrorists
ID?
Terrorists don't have ID.
No, they have ID, but it says the same name on it, doesn't it?
Oh, no, they don't, according to all these nutty theories about ID.
Yeah.
A smart terrorist would find what famous American shares their name, mug them, and take their ID or duplicate their ID.
So somewhere out there, though, there's a potential terrorist named Loretta Sanchez, and now she knows that we know about her. So she's going to get fake ID or something and continue what she was planning to do.
If you are the Loretta Sanchez mentioned in the no-fly list, give us a call sometime. We'd love to talk to you.
How would you know, though? How would you know that you're the Loretta Sanchez?
There must be some Loretta Sanchez who is, like, politically active to the point of, like, taking a gun in the hills of Mexico and shooting the federales.
Well, there's probably quite a few, but I'm sure we have Loretta Sanchez's listening to us right now. It's a very common name, so I don't even know what the effectiveness of a no-fly list that has such common names on it is, unless there's some other description of the person, perhaps, that might come in handy.
You heard about the boarding pass generator?
Yeah, in fact, I was about to get to that. This is an interesting case out of Indiana University. A graduate student posted online instructions for getting around security checks at airports, including a website to generate fake boarding passes. Chris Sakoyan, a doctoral student in informatics, I can barely pronounce that, wrote on his blog that he posted the information to point out flaws in the system and prod the TSA to fix it. He said he was visited by FBI agents Friday, the same day Representative Ed Markey, our old friend of Massachusetts, issued a news release calling for the government to apprehend whoever was responsible for the website. Oh, yeah, Markey, always right on top of things. I don't know. Do you know more about this case? Because that's pretty much all I've read about.
Well, Markey later changed his mind and was like, oops, no, they shouldn't have apprehended him. But
he does that a lot, too.
He was already apprehended by that point. Other Congress people have posted on their own websites pretty much the same instructions for how to get by airport security.
Mm-hmm.
They're not smart enough to write boarding pass generators. But
what's involved in a boarding pass generator, anyway?
These online check-ins, I don't know if you've ever done one, but it's basically a piece of paper with a barcode on it and your name and time and date.
Uh-huh.
So it seems like it's not that hard to take a real one and maybe Photoshop it into saying whatever you want. And this guy just wrote a program to do that automatically.
But, you know, the only program you need to write is something that will fool the eyes of the people you walk past, because they don't scan that part when you're just walking through security. At least they haven't for the times I've done it.
No.
Len, you're in the industry, so you know these things, right?
Well, I travel a lot.
Mm-hmm.
But I have to say that the people that are checking your ticket against your ID, all they're really looking for is that you have something that matches. I mean, I don't want to help people do something bad, but
those people already know.
These people already know. It's like the four S's in the bottom right-hand corner,
mm-hmm.
Okay?
Yeah, we cracked that one.
Yeah, that was a real tough one to crack, wasn't it? I mean, the issue is that we could go online and if you had a ticket tomorrow, you could sign in, and it would not be very difficult to change the name of that. I have to say that the airline that I fly a lot has made changes to their system where you cannot do it as easily as you used to be able to do. Not that I've done it. But
you know, it's not that big a deal even if you do, because I recall the day, it wasn't that long ago, where you could walk people all the way to the gate where they are seen off onto their airplane. So being able to get to that stage, you still have to go through security. You still have to be scrutinized in some sense. It's not like you're taking down a plane by figuring out how to get past that one barrier.
No, it's all very silly.
But you could be on that. Sorry for having to share the mic with you, Mike. But that the issue is that somebody who is on this quote-unquote do not fly list could fly. And that's the reason they want the positive identification. But it's so wishy-washy that you can't really – it's not done properly.
Mm-hmm. So what are they holding over this guy's head? Are they going to put him in Guantanamo Bay or something?
Well, probably not that, but it's vague. It's a vague charge. We'll see if they solidify it into actually accusing him of a real crime. But meanwhile, the FBI has been visiting and seizing and all this. His university has said they won't help him with a lawyer. He's on his own. And, you know, we'll see what happens. But nothing good is going to come out of it.
I looking at his blog, which you can see at slightparanoia.blogspot.com, and here's what Markey said when he flip-flopped. On Friday, I urged the Bush administration to apprehend and shut down whoever had created a new website that enabled persons without a plane ticket to easily fake a boarding pass and use it to clear security, gain access to the boarding area, and potentially to the cabin of a passenger plane. That's a big jump there. Subsequently, I learned that the person responsible was a student at Indiana University who intended no harm, but rather intended to provide a public service by warning that this long-standing loophole could be easily exploited. The website has now apparently been shut down. Under the circumstances, any legal consequences for this student must take into account his intent to perform a public service, to publicize a problem as a way of getting it fixed. He picked a lousy way of doing it, but he should not go to jail for his bad judgment. Better yet, the Department of Homeland Security should put him to work, showing public officials how easily our security can be compromised. It remains a fact that fake boarding passes can be easily created, and the integration of terrorist watch lists with boarding security is still woefully inadequate. The best outcome of this would be for the Department of Homeland Security to close these loopholes immediately.
I love how it changes from locking someone up to giving them a job. I mean, that's pretty
drastic. Which in some cases is about the same thing, but yeah, that's Markey for you. And years ago, I had a run-in with that guy when I was testifying on Congress, and he did not understand the concept of hackers at all. Sounds like maybe he got a clue, but he seemed to have gotten it in the last couple of days. His initial reaction to this seemed more in line with what I was expecting.
You know, I just have to believe that there are people who work for the Department of Homeland Security who understand how foolish this whole thing is, how little it aids our security, and how much pain it causes. But those people are not the ones with lobbyists. You know, it's really all just some kind of silly game.
I can tell you what I think it's about. I think it's about reducing the volume of people who have to go past their checkpoints. That's my theory.
Mm.
It's just
so to make their jobs easier.
Well, yeah. I mean, not just easier, but just reduce the number of people that are in the terminals for them to have to monitor and deal with and watch. And you know, it makes their job easier.
Just a little bit of quick background for people who aren't up on this. All that the Do Not Fly list has is a list of names. It doesn't give a description. It doesn't give a picture. It doesn't give your age. So 2-year-olds will get stopped by it, people of the wrong race, people of the wrong sex at times. All sorts of things happen with it.
Okay. Well, that's the no-fly list for you. Here's a great headline from the Daily Mail over there in England. Britons could be microchipped like dogs in a decade. Oh, yeah. Human beings may be forced to be microchipped like pet dogs. A shocking official report into the rise of the Big Brother state has warned.
Wait, are pet dogs regularly microchipped?
Apparently over there they are.
My dog has a microchip.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Wow. The microchips, which are implanted under the skin, allow the wearer's movements to be tracked and store personal information about them. They could be used by companies who want to keep tabs on an employee's movements, or by governments who want a foolproof way of identifying their citizens and storing information about them. The prospect of chip citizens, with its terrifying echoes of George Orwell's Big Brother police state in the book 1984, was raised in an official report for Britain's Information Commissioner Richard Thomas into the spread of surveillance technology. It paints a frightening picture of what Britain might look like in 10 years, and unless steps are taken to regulate the use of CCTV and other spy technologies. Now, England is big on CCTV. They have cameras everywhere. They're always watching people. They've got 4.2 million CCTV cameras in England, and the average Briton is caught on camera an astonishing 300 times a day.
Wow.
So you know, they
don't try anything.
They don't have any crime there anymore. Is that true?
Yeah, crime is gone. They've gotten rid of all the crime, sure.
Well, one of the keywords in this article is a foolproof way of tracking people. Now, how many times have we demonstrated at the conferences and people demonstrated at universities and online and white papers and everything how easy it is to fool RFID readers, how easy it is to clone IDs, it's just really... Well, a misunderstanding of the technology.
There was actually another story about that this week, about getting information from RFID. Does anybody have that? Because I don't have that story with me. Nobody has it?
You know, I hope, Redbird, that you're right and that these technologies are going to fail. But I think that's really kind of temporary. I mean, at some point, they're going to get technologies that work, and they're going to be tracking us all around, and I think that's even scarier than these silly ones that don't work.
Is there any logical way of frying these chips?
Not if it's in your skin.
Well, I mean, there has to be some type of way.
You could stick your hand in the microwave, but it doesn't seem that smart.
Well, that's not logical.
What about the possibility of sticking your hand in an RFID-resistant foil envelope thing, making your clothes resistant to RFID? Would that work?
Like a tinfoil glove?
It would be silly, and it's a stupid thing to
have to
do.
It would be silly, but if you have to do it, you have to do it.
I mean, what happens if you go in, like, an X-ray machine?
I mean, I don't think you want to do that either.
You could cut yourself open and pull it and rip it out.
Isn't that a scene in a movie?
Many science fiction movies have covered
this. These are scenes we're going to be living through pretty soon.
Notably Imposter with Gary Sinise.
All right, so we have that. We have RFID in our skin and things like that to look forward to. It sounds like a lot of fun, doesn't it? If I could have known 10 years ago that we'd actually be thinking about this as reality, I would have been amazed then.
Are we grandfathered in? Will we have to do it?
You know, they test all these things first on prisoners. They always and on the military. Those are the two groups of people that are most victimized by Orwellian developments in technology. So you can bet if they're sticking things into soldiers or into people behind bars, they're going to be doing it to us at some point, just like everything else they try out. So, yeah, it's a sobering statistic there. But it's going to happen in England first, apparently, because they really are eager about that. And I think most people will probably support it. Most people will say, yeah, this somehow makes me safer. I'm going to just do what I'm told.
And think of the convenience. You'll be able to be caught as a criminal, and you'll be able to, like, pay for your chips as, you know, all in one step, one device.
Right, and the football's still on TV, so, hey, everything's okay.
Maybe you can change the channel with the same thing in your hand. That would be great.
Yeah. Yeah, I want to talk about cell phones, because we talk about that a lot on this radio show. Actually, on the way down here, I had a thought, because I was on a bus, and you know how people are always talking loudly on cell phones in public areas? Well, I had this woman who really was starting to annoy me because she was complaining about this. She was saying how these people with their cell phones, they talk all the time. They're center of attention. Everyone feels they have to listen to them, and you just can't get a thought in edgewise. And then you got to pay if you make a call. You got to pay if you receive a call. You can't even understand what the people are saying half the time. It's taken over our lives. And this was going on for about 10 minutes. The whole bus could hear her complaining.
On the phone?
No, to the driver. Okay. They were just talking back and forth, and it was just there's no box to block that. People just, I think, you know, if you're going to complain about cell phones, do that in a low tone of voice as well. Please. It was annoying. It really was. I got on my cell phone to escape.
I'm sorry you had to be subjected to this.
Why? Did you set this up?
No,
sounds like the kind of thing you would set up.
It is the kind of thing I would set up, but in this case, no, I didn't.
But, Lynn, I know you had a bone to pick about, was it T-Mobile?
Yeah, T-Mobile has come up with a great new plan called My Faves, where you pick five people and you can call them as much as you want.
Those plans never work for me because as soon as I pick somebody, I get into a fight with them, and then I never want to talk to them again.
Right,
and now I'm stuck with this.
Well, and you can change it once a month, so you can only get in a fight with them every month, and then you have to switch them off.
It doesn't work.
the issue is that you have to replace your phone because of software incompatibility with the My Faves plan. So apparently T-Mobile's billing computer cannot figure out without your phone doing something interesting to tell the back end that it's okay for you to call this number, which is kind of interesting because there should be some way to I'm sure, exploit this with the way that T-Mobile is so easily exploited in other areas. But, you know, if you have T-Mobile, ask them why you can't get My Faves on your old phone and why you have to throw a phone in the landfill.
They should get you the new phone. If they're introducing a plan that requires you to get a new phone, they should get you the phone.
Or upgrade your software or give you a trade-in value. I mean, I bought two $300 phones, and you can't get a piece of software. You can't upgrade the firmware to fix it. You're stuck. If you want to get the plan, you upgraded 3 months ago, so you have to buy the phone at full face value, $600.
You have to download all your ringtones again and pay for them a second time? No, that's not right.
The thing is that there's absolutely no technical reason why they can't have it done at the back end. And for all practical purposes, it would be simpler for them to do that. But what comes to mind is their ability to control what phones that their customers are using, which is exactly what Verizon can do because they're a CDMA provider and you have to buy your phone through them anyway, and they activate the serial number in their database, and that's how you can use the phone. And the same thing with the GSM phones and the IMEIs.
T-Mobile's a GSM company, and the whole thrill of being a GSM company.
You can use whatever phone you want,
but now you got to use a particular. Is it one particular model or just certain models?
They have about six. They have about, I think it's about six models, and you know, it's kind of cool. You get a little circular thing with your friends on it, and as you push your arrow to the right or the left, their little picture gets bigger and moves around,
like the dock.
When are you looking at that, though? You have the phone to your head.
No, before you dial.
Oh.
But they can control the phones that you're using, and if they have, you know, GPS support and better ability to track you. And
the thing that makes this one interesting is it doesn't matter if it's a landline. It doesn't matter if it's a singular phone, a Verizon phone.
Can it be a satellite phone?
It can only be a U.S.
okay.
telephone number.
Alaska and
no
Hawaii?
800 and 900 numbers, please.
Why no 800 numbers? That doesn't hurt them.
I don't know. For some reason.
You don't need
because if it were an 800 number, you could put a calling card. Wait.
You don't
need
put
a calling
matter.
Card. You could put a calling card as one of your favorite people and then call whoever you want for like a cent a minute.
Wait, how would that work exactly?
Well, if you put a calling card, like I have a calling card that's a Miami telephone number and I can...
What do you mean a calling card? A calling card's not a phone number.
No, but you have a calling card...
Mm-hmm.
And in order to use the calling card, you call a phone number.
So you would have that phone number as one of your favorite people.
Yeah.
Okay, so then you call the okay, so you don't have to pay the access fee to access the dial tone where you enter your... You're still paying for the call.
No, but if it's one of my five favorite people, I can make unlimited calls to that number.
But you still have to have a calling card for that number, right? Aren't you paying for that call via a calling card?
Yeah, but I'm paying a cent a minute for wireless calls, which normally cost 10 cents a minute or more.
Uh-huh. I didn't know the call to the actual calling number, the calling card number, was expensive. I mean, is that something that...
Well, it's just a standard. It takes up minutes. But with this favorites plan, you can make it not take up minutes.
If you have an asterisk box, you can just call in and then call out with DISA and then you can make as many calls to as many people as you want. Not that that was my intention of getting this.
You could be old-fashioned and just have a cheese box at your house. A cheese box you dial, and it gives you a dial tone, or it gives you another phone number, so you could rig that if you have multiple lines at home or somewhere else to call this 800 number for the calling card or whatever else.
Gentlemen, this is tantamount to conspiracy over the airwaves that we're telling people how to bypass the corporate profits that we should be supplying.
No. We're telling the corporations what they should be guarding against.
Well, you saw how that wound up for the kid in Indiana, so I don't know if that's a wise idea. But, yeah, you know, let's think creatively about this. On to my particular gripe with one particular cell phone company, and that's Verizon Wireless. Yeah, I've got gripes with the other ones, too, but Verizon Wireless has really ticked me off recently. I don't know what it is, but every voicemail interface on every cell phone company just seems to be designed to annoy you to no end. And I'm going to demonstrate that. I'm going to access a dial tone here. I'm going to call my number. And I'm going to turn it down, too, so you can't hear what my number is. I'm going to leave an urgent message. The phone should actually start ringing in a second. Wow, look at that. Caller ID. And that's a different number, too. Okay, that's my cell phone ringing. I know I could turn it off and...
not annoy us.
But then we might have an awkward silence, so we might as well have the noise so we know that this is actually working. And keep in mind, this is important. I have to leave a message. First of all, when somebody starts playing a message, you don't know if you can hit a key to skip over all of the nonsense that you hear. Here we go.
At the tone, please record your message. When you've finished recording
all this nonsense,
or press 1 for more options.
You think it's over? No, it's not over. More. Chapter 2. Some of them are even longer than that. Okay. Urgent message. Please get back to me right away. Thank you. All right. Now I got to get the message. Now, to get the message, I'm going to turn the phone off this time because we don't want to sit through it ringing again. And that's the pleasant note my phone plays whenever I turn it off, which is often. All right, let's get another dial tone. Then I call my number again. Here's the other thing. Do you hit pound or do you hit star to access your mailbox? It's different for every company.
At the tone, please record your message.
I think it's pound in this case.
Please enter your password, then press pound.
Okay, now I'm going to enter my password. I want to hear that message right away. Listen to what I have to go through.
I'm sorry. This number is not valid.
Okay. Well, first I have to enter the password properly. Let's try that again. Let's see.
You have one message whose retention time is about to expire.
Yeah, I don't want to hear about that.
You
I want to press one.
New voice
but
message.
It won't let me do it.
You have.
It keeps telling me how many messages I have.
Saved voice messages. First voice
and
message.
Finally, it plays one.
Okay. Urgent message, please get back to me right away. Thank you.
End of message.
I have to hear a lecture about all these messages that I have not yet erased. First of all, it's annoying that cell phone companies erase messages for you, but they do. But Verizon, what Verizon Wireless does is they scold you. They say you have this number of messages that we're about to delete, and they play this warning to you, and you cannot skip over it. You have to listen to that before you can listen to any new messages.
Are you sure about that?
Yeah, I'm sure about that.
Our phone system at work had the same feature, which annoyed the hell out of me.
It didn't used to do this. This is only within the last few weeks.
But I learned the secret numbers you had to press to bypass all that.
Well, if you can find the secret numbers for Verizon Wireless, please let me know.
All right.
And like I said, every cell phone company has its own annoyances. For instance, T-Mobile. Can you believe T-Mobile does not record the phone number of the person who calls you? In this day and age, they don't have the ability to do that. They used to, but they took it out in a revision. So somebody could call you, leave a message, and you have no idea who they are.
But you can press 8 and call them back.
You can call them back, but then you're sort of, you know, showing your hand by calling them back, but it won't tell you the phone number until you call them back. So, yeah, the information is there. They just will not give it to you. Okay, and then we have some interesting things here that somebody sent in to us. You know that they have sound clips that they use to test out cell phones to hear if the sound quality of the voices are, I guess, acceptable. And they use them for VoIP as well and other speech applications. And we went to this website that has a whole lot of different examples of this. And this is the American version. It's kind of spooky, actually, but they play a series of words and sentences that are supposed to sound a particular way through a cell phone, and this is what they do when they test them out. Let's take a listen. Of course, we have to wait for the computer to fire up. I hear the hard drive going. Here we go.
Every word and phrase he speaks is true. He put his last cartridge into the gun and fired. They took their kids from the public school. Drive the screws straight into the wood. Keep the hatch tight and the watch constant. Sever the twine with a quick snip of the knife. Paper will dry out when wet. Slide the catch back and open the desk. Help the weak to preserve their strength. A sullen smile gets few friends.
Truer words have never been spoken.
I heard some laughter in the background.
Yeah, I definitely heard laughing.
And that wasn't us, was it? Because we were laughing too. But yeah, I did hear some laughter. When you listen really carefully, you can hear something. Some strange sounds.
It's like LSD, Lost, and the Columbine shooting all rolled into one.
Let's listen to a female version of this.
The birch canoe slid on the smooth planks. Glue the sheet to the dark blue background. It is easy to tell the depth of a well. These days, a chicken leg is a rare dish. Rice is often served in round bowls. The juice of lemons makes fine punch. The box was thrown beside the park truck. The hogs were fed chopped corn and garbage. 4 hours of steady work faced us. A large size in stockings is hard to sell.
Wow, well, what can we say?
You can learn a lot. But I don't think these are very realistic cell phone tests because no one I know speaks that slowly and clearly.
Well, maybe that's because you hang out with more Brits than you...
Hoist the load to your left shoulder. Take the winding path to reach the lake. Note closely the size of the gas tank. Wipe the grease off his dirty face. Mend the coat before you go out. The wrist was badly strained and hung limp. The stray cat gave birth to kittens. The young girl gave no clear response. The meal was cooked before the bell rang. What joy there is in living.
Well, it's obvious from his tone that he finds a lot of joy in living.
You have to give the Earl. This is like found the poetry.
It really is. It reminds me of, you know, that spam you get? It's just random gibberish. It's like that, except you can call it.
You know what it reminds me of? And this will show how old you and I are.
If I remember, too.
You'll remember this. The Moody Blues, Knights in White Satin, where
they play that every day on the radio.
Well, lucky for you. Where he says, breathe deep the gathering gloom. It's just like one of these.
Well, that's bad poetry. This is just random words.
But anyway. are these sentences constructed for some particular purpose?
Well, apparently these sentences are designed with cell phones in mind. There was a whole big Wall Street Journal article about this, but I don't subscribe to Wall Street Journal, so I couldn't read it on the air.
Is there an explanation for that, like a technical explanation?
Designed to use the entire phoneme inventory of English or something, all the different sounds that we use in English.
It's called the Open Speech Repository. It's the OSR project, provides freely usable speech files in multiple languages for use in voice over IP testing and other applications. This is according to their website. We encourage you to use these files, publish, copy, broadcast without restriction. We only require that you identify the source of these files as Open Speech Repository. And you can access it by going to www.voiptroubleshooter.com/open_speech.
So they have speech in like Zulu? Or?
No, they have speech in American English, British English, Chinese Mandarin, French, and Hindi.
Let's go for that many languages.
No, I think we've exhausted this, but pretty soon Japanese and Spanish will be coming to the site.
That'll be good.
Yeah, so that's a bit of fun there. Okay, yeah, continuing with phone number information. If you're one of the millions of Britons who dreads the clocks going back to signal the start of winter, which I don't know if it's happened over there yet. I think it happens at a different date for them.
I think it's
next week. Okay, so it's one of these weird weeks where there's only 4 hours difference between the two countries or 6 hours or something. I don't know. But anyway, there's a number you can call to listen to the Lake District Escape Line. The special telephone line has been launched to help those who retreat into hibernation mode at the official end of British summertime on October 29th. So it was the same time. Callers can listen to 7 inspiring and comical sounds aimed at encouraging them to make the most out of the precious available daylight this winter. Alternatively, try them out for free by calling this number, which we cannot call from the States, I don't think, 0870, which is the equivalent of their 800 number, 0870-224-1856.
I called it from the United States.
Did you?
Yeah, it was no problem.
Really?
It didn't do any of the things they claimed to do, like make me happy that fall was coming or whatever. It was just like people walking on leaves. It was pretty stupid.
Well, did you lose the leading zero?
I did 011 for plus 44870 and the rest of the digits.
I don't think we'll be able to do it from the BAI phone system, but let's try it. Because I think we have all international blocked. And 826? No, 870, I'm sorry. See if our magical tone comes over. I guess I should have hit pound sign to indicate the end, but let's see what happens. Maybe nothing will happen.
That could be exciting.
If you want, you can dial it through my asterisk box. I'll write it down. Don't play the.
I won't play the tones, but yeah, if you could write the whole number string down in the back of that piece of paper, that would be helpful. And then we can hear an inspiring message of our own. Nothing's happening. I'm gonna hit the pound sign anyway. See what happens. I think the phone line is just dead. Well, that's sad.
This is not inspiring.
No, not inspiring at all. Inspiring to get a new phone system, perhaps. While we're on the subject of phones, the phone number here is 212-209-2900. We'd like to hear from you if you have any comments, opinions, thoughts, complaints, that kind of thing. Okay. And I hit those numbers there, and then I dialed this number here. I do the 011 thing?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, do the 011 thing.
Let's try that. And, of course, we're not going to play your phone number over the air, nor will we play the secret code that we have to enter to call down there. Okay, now we're going to get a special...
Enter a password followed by the pound key.
Okay, we enter a password now. I can play this, right?
No.
I can't play this? All right.
No, please don't.
But they don't know your number, so it doesn't even matter. I'm going to press the pound sign now. I did it! I hit those numbers.
That means my wife's on the phone. Sorry.
Thanks a lot. All right. Kevin, maybe your Telefreak people can help us with this.
Maybe.
Reach overseas.
Probably.
Can you do something? Can you conjure up some magic? No? No? Useless. All right. Our email address, oth@2600.com. Oh, a reminder, the Steve Rambam talk is happening. It's definite. Happening Thursday, November 16th. From 6 to 9 p.m., Stevens Institute of Technology, and in the Babio Center, room 122. And details are on our website, www.2600.com. Now, that talk is, of course, to make up for the talk that was broken up by the FBI at the Hope No. 6 conference. And that means officially Hope No. 6 comes to an end in November this year. And admission is free. Getting to New Jersey is not hard. So,
yes,
yeah.
It is.
No, it's not.
It's really not.
It's harder than not getting to New Jersey.
No, actually, that's not true either. It's cheaper. It costs $1.50 to get there from Manhattan.
If you start at the PATH train, which I don't. Well, I don't live in the PATH train.
Do you start at the subway when you get on the subway? Yeah, you
tend to. I start near the subway.
All right. Well, most people find it easy. And again, it's Thursday, November 16th, over there in Hoboken.
And there's no... Nothing else to take besides the PATH train. You can walk to it from the train station.
Yeah, in fact, we'll have people making sure that you get there. It's only a couple blocks away, but we'll have signs and people and maybe a little parade or something. 212-209-2900 is our phone number. And let's see, before we get to the calls coming in, let's see if we have any more pieces of email. I enjoy your show. It's interesting discussions. I'd be interested in listening to or reading the presentations of the Hope Conference, especially Steve Rambam. Is there going to be any option for that as a stream or download? I heard him on the last show. I was shocked and amazed. and I'd like to hear more. I'm in California, so getting there would not be possible, signed Andy. Well, Andy, you know, it is possible. Do these miraculous things called airplanes?
Newark is a great airport, I hear.
It is. It's very close. So, and admission is free, so you're saving that cost as well. But, yes, we will have everything available. In fact, if you have gotten the full set of DVDs, we will be sending you this one gratis once we make it. The whole thing is not going to cost anyone anything, hopefully. All right, and here's a letter from Hawaii. Emmanuel, on your advice, I started scrutinizing my phone bill. Hawaiian Telecom charges $1.65 a month for touchtone service. Can you believe that? They're in the dark ages over there. I called them to investigate, and they said that if I didn't have that service, I couldn't make phone calls. They're still pulling that. I asked about pulse dial rotary phones, and the service person said no one uses those phones anymore. She became agitated when I said that some people do use those phones, and I asked if Hawaiian Telecom could tell if someone had used a touch-tone phone or a pulse dial phone. She said no, the phone company couldn't tell if a line was being utilized by a particular phone type. The agent said that the fee was standard for all customers, even if they didn't use a touch-tone phone, but they have no way to tell. We got into a big debate with her about how the fee wasn't necessary, things that this was settled 10 years ago. Can you tell me by what mechanism touchtones are blocked by a phone company? Signed, Greg in Hawaii. Well, Greg, the only technology here is software that can say, do not process this particular frequency from somebody who has not paid a fee.
Well, to repeat what I said 10 years ago when we discussed this for New York, it's not that they can tell, rather, mm-hmm. that you do have a touch-tone device of some sort on your line, and they charge you accordingly. But if you just disconnect it, which I did for a number of years, New York Telephone didn't, and I'm sure Hawaii Telecom won't charge you the touch-tone fee if you can persuade them to go back to giving you a pulse line.
No. There's no such thing as a pulse. Every line is a pulse line. Pulses will work in every single, except maybe if you have... does it work on VoIP at all? Pulses? No?
It shouldn't.
All right. Well, then, if you're using VoIP for companies, okay, you can't use your pulse phone there. But for regular telecom companies...
No, what I'm saying is pretend to ignorance when you talk to Hawaii Telecom. Tell them you want a pulse phone, a regular dial rotary phone.
Why? Why not just say, take this damn fee off my line?
Because they probably won't.
They have to.
Really?
Yes, that's not a mandatory fee.
Oh, well, in that case.
Not at all. What they may do, if they're bastards about it, is they'll make it so when you hit a touch tone, your dial tone will not go away. But it's easy to get around that. Most phones, if you look at the star key, you'll see something that says, I believe it says tone on it, underneath the star.
Right.
You simply switch your phone into rotary mode, you hit the same buttons, it pulses it out, and then when you want to use your touch tones after you connect, you hit the star key, and all of a sudden, they generate tones again.
Right, on some
it's
phones.
It's magic.
On some phones, there's a separate switch that says pulse or tone.
Yeah, but the thing is, you're making the tones. The phone company isn't providing you with tones.
Right, they use this as an excuse to take money from the ignorant or lazy.
And Hawaiians, apparently.
In my father's office, they were too cheap to pay like $3 for a touch-tone service, so they had pulse mode.
Not too cheap, they were too educated.
All right, whatever it was. And eventually one day they decided to just try dialing tones to see what would happen, and you know what, it worked.
It worked anyway. Yeah. Lots of times that's the case. And in the older technology, before they went digital, they didn't have the ability to turn it off, so that tells you that it's nothing they're charging you for. Okay, one more letter, then we'll take some phone calls, 212-209-2900. I was just listening to Off the Hook from October 18th. You were talking about only being able to order from Domino's via an 800 number. Not all the local numbers have disappeared. My local and several nearby Domino's stores all use local numbers. This is in Zanesville, Ohio. Signed, Matt. Matt, thanks for your letter.
You know, I walked by a Domino's pizza, and there was a local number in the window.
Okay, but here's my question. What if you block your caller ID... Do they subscribe to all call block, or anonymous call rejection, rather, where if somebody calls you, they get a recording saying this person will not accept your call unless you unblock your caller ID? They may very well subscribe to that, which means you do have to send your caller ID, and then they have your name. They have your address, unless you fake that information. So try it. So dial *67, and then call that number and tell us if it's blocked. I'd be interested to know. Okay, let's take some phone calls from our listeners we have not heard from in a while. Good evening. You're on the air. Yes? Would anybody care to address this question? No, you have us stumped. Let's go to our next call. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hey, how are you?
Good. How are you?
Am I on the air?
Yes, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Okay. Actually, I wanted to correct you. T-Mobile does say the phone number on your answering machine when you retrieve your voicemail.
Not for me, it doesn't. Inside T-Mobile voicemail, you're able to hear them speak the phone number?
Yes, I can play it to you right now if you want.
Okay. Well, just don't give out your information.
No, absolutely not. But when I dial 123 from my... See, I had to activate that... I had to activate that feature going into the menu somewhere because I know I had it before. When they switched it over last time? I lost it all, and I was just looking for it, and I finally found it, and I activated that feature. And it actually, when I retrieve my phone number, I mean my messages, the phone number will announce like your messages from blah 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 blah.
Well,
blah,
please
blah.
Show me how that's done because I'd really like to know.
You would have to go into your menu. I don't remember right now how it went, but basically when I dial... Hold on one second.
I'm going to call T-Mobile. I'm going to ask them this. Well, first I'm going to go into my voicemail and play around.
Okay.
And are you playing it now?
Yes.
Okay.
Okay.
Sounds... Okay, where are you calling from?
Union, New Jersey.
All right, so you're local, so...
Yeah.
It should work. You're right.
Yes. You just definitely have to go into the menus and explore each and every option.
Mm-hmm.
Because it may be under different option and may be very misleading. So just...
This, you've just demonstrated why you should never believe what customer service tells you. Because they've told me on multiple occasions that, no, we don't offer that service. We don't provide that. We don't have the capability of giving you that information.
No,
and absolutely. Here you've proven that it is possible.
Absolutely.
All right.
Yeah.
Thanks for the info.
Thank you. All right. Bye-bye.
It's amazing. I can get all my problems solved just... by BAI listeners. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hey, hello.
What's on your mind?
Hey, did you talk about the lawsuit for Verizon? I got something in the mail that I'm involved in this class action suit.
Okay, what did I do this time?
And they're offering me 7 remedies. Something like, I'm not sure. I thought you would know about it since you have Verizon cell phone.
There are so many class action suits that I get letters for, and they never tell you exactly why these class action suits exist in the first place. So I might have heard about it, but I probably didn't pursue it because, the 10 cents I'm going to get in the end probably didn't pique my interest that much.
Well, the thing is, they're offering one of the options is a hour and 20-minute phone card.
Okay.
For 6 months
mm-hmm.
Use. And I'm thinking about taking that. I think when you reactivate, every time you buy a new phone, they charge you an extra, you got to buy a 2-year contract. Something to do with that. And they're overcharging the people or something.
Interesting.
I have it. Maybe I'll send you an email with because it's somebody's suing them, and I'm involved. I guess I'm involved with it in the class action.
Well, it's interesting to know. I guess, an hour and 20 minutes would be something of value.
Yeah. It's compared to the other options, they give you $15 off on a headset or something like that. I didn't want that.
Can they just give you money? I'd like to just get a check for money. Can they do that?
I'll take the calling cards. I'll just use that. I'll just stop at a payphone. Also, I got a complaint.
Okay.
When you're ready to do phone calls,
mm-hmm.
do them, because you took 4 emails. That was me who hung up first.
Well, listen, the problem is
after five minutes, the phone cuts off.
Yeah, you see, that's the problem is that the phone company cuts you off. It didn't used to do that. It used to be you could ring the phone forever. And the reason why we don't go to the calls immediately is because a lot of our callers are coming via the internet and they don't even hear me ask for phone calls for 2 minutes. So. Lots of times the phone banks don't fill up for a few minutes.
Yeah, I'm going to hold on. I knew I was going to get cut off for 5 minutes.
Yeah.
I said, okay, I'm not going to make it. Because you was doing emails, which is all right. But, when you say call in, we call in.
Mm-hmm. I wish there was a solution for this because it used to be, before the phone companies got so greedy, that you could just ring a phone and it wasn't costing them anything. You could ring a phone for days. I did that.
All right. Well, thank you. I enjoyed the show, though.
All right. Thanks. Thanks for your call. I'd like to know what the longest anybody has rung a phone in their memory. I did it for a weekend once. Somebody went away, and I decided to be a real wise guy and leave their phone ringing all weekend long.
I've done that in similar times.
Maybe that's why they stopped.
I once looped a call through MCI to a bank of payphones from my job,
uh-huh.
and it hung up, and I hung up, rather, and it was an hour and a half until the payphones stopped ringing.
Wow, that's quite a loop. Let's see if we can get a couple more in because we have to. Yes, Mike.
A lot of these class action lawsuits, I'm just going to say the people who get the money is the lawyers. It costs Verizon maybe a dollar to give you 80 minutes of calling time, but they give the lawyers, you know, $1 million or something, and it's really not that good.
Good evening. You're on the air.
Yeah, a couple of things before I was watching Polish TV here while I was waiting for you after your system dumped me a couple of times.
Why weren't you listening to us?
I was listening to you, but I had the TV on.
Oh, okay.
And apparently there's a very important sect of the Polish Catholic Church who all dress up exactly the same as the KKK, except it's all black.
What does that have to do with anything we're talking about?
Absolutely nothing. Okay. First thing of I have some information about that HBO thing about the election. By the way, there's going to be footage supposedly of someone who ran for office and then ended up videotaping the machines resetting themselves after they voted for themselves. And apparently, for a couple of years, nobody would touch it. HBO is the only people who's supposed to be included in this. So I think it'll be useful to watch that. So here's the deal. Verizon. I live only a couple of blocks from the main substation on Convent Avenue up by 145th Street, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, the DSL service to my apartment, which is part of my rent, is absolute garbage. So I've decided that I run on a phone line most of the time, and that turns into absolute garbage. And here's the point. When my dial-up is running the way it should be, if I go to my next-door neighbor and he's got his on his DSL, it's also running, you know, the way it should be on the DSL.
You have to wrap this up in 30 seconds.
When mine craps out to about 5 bits per second, the DSL does. How do I get Verizon to admit that it's their wires, because I've tried to deal with that? They just don't want to hear about it. Who do I go to say, hey, it happens on dial-up, it happens on the DSL, it's your wires, you got to fix it?
You got to move somewhere where it never rains.
No, it has nothing to do with that. I do believe it has to do with the fact that there's no fiber here in Harlem. But
unfortunately, we got to leave it there because we have a special election announcement we have to play here. We're out for this week. Personal Computer Show coming up next. But for now, here's a special WBAI election announcement.
WBAI is currently holding an election for representatives to serve on WBAI's local station board. Here are statements from some of the candidates running for a seat on the board. Please remember, your ballot must be filled out and received by November 15th. Not postmarked. Received by November 15th. Thank you.
I'm Alex Steinberg, and I'm running for a seat on the WBAI local station board. I am an educator, a socialist, and was previously a member of the LSB. I'm running again in order to help fix the mess at WBAI. What mess is that? If you don't know, it's because the majority of the LSB, the so-called Justice and Unity Campaign, hasn't told you. They haven't told you that listenership is significantly down, that WBAI owes $300,000 to Pacifica, that the listeners have been systematically excluded from any decision-making, that Robert Knight and Gary Null were fired without due process by the previous station manager. I support more programming devoted to alternatives to the Republicans and Democrats, more programming for the arts, the return of Robert Knight and Gary Null to WBAI. Finally, I support listener empowerment. Please vote for me, Alex Steinberg. Contact me at alexthe@verizon.net.